What up, Met Town? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM WMGX. I definitely get it from my mama, okay? Y'all see it. Well, maybe you don't see it if you're just listening, but people on Facebook see it and YouTube see it. So make sure you guys follow us on YouTube and on Facebook, any social media platform, civic media. You can find the Black Conversion Show recordings because y'all know y'all love me that much. But for my regular listeners, and my newbies, it is my birthday. It's my birthday all month of March. My official birthday is March 7th. And let me tell you, we had a time. A time was had. Luke didn't show up talking about he needed to be in bed by 9.
I didn't get the actual official invite either. I didn't even know where to go to show up. So, yes, it was a little late for my taste, Brandi. But to be fair, I didn't know where the party was being held.
But to be fair, Luke didn't text me either. Luke was like, please don't text me.
That's fair.
Because then that makes me obligated. So I'm not going to say nothing, okay? But a time was had. I had a private, quote unquote, private birthday party at a friend of mine's house in Monona off the lake. And let me tell you, we blacked out Monona. I know her neighbors were complaining because this is something about Black people. And just for my white listeners and my other allies and co-conspirators, do not repeat what I say because it's not, you can't say what I say, okay? Get you a Black translator because there's times where I have to get me a white translator, you know, that's just how the world works sometimes. But anyway, what I was going to say is people known as Black, we love loud music, okay? We love, it's in our energy, it's in our bodies. So let me just tell you, Black folks pulled up to the Monona area, and these are big houses off the lake. We got judges to the left. We got, attorneys, doctors to the right, and it's never been as many Black people on their block. So they were a little terrified, okay? And when we pull up, music is blasting. You know, we laugh, and we outside. When we outside, we outside. So they immediately got complaints. But let me just acknowledge that this particular friend throws parties all the time. It's her thing. It's her thing, but not this kind of party, okay? Not the Brandi Grayson party. She throws a lot of raves, a lot of rave music, little techno music, and of course I go to her parties. But our party, of course, it was a lot of hip hop, a lot of Glorilla, some slides. You know how we do Tamir Slide because we need to get it in. And then you know we have to start the music, stop the music as we make announcements and talk crap and hype up the crowd, even though it was a house party because that's just what we do. So it was a good time. I am a fresh 45 years old. I'm feeling good. I am very grateful for my friends, for my community, and for the people that love me. So I just want y'all to know if you want to send me birthday love, you can. I don't know my Cash App. I don't know why I don't know my Cash App, but I don't know it.
You just got to search your name, Brandi Grayson.
I'm going to send it to Luke. He going to drop it on the comments on the video.
There we go. I can add it to the podcast, too.
Okay,
go
period.
Check out the podcast.
Okay, yeah, check out the podcast. Donate to Brandi. It's her birthday. Bless me with $5, $10, or something like that. But a time was had. Can I just say, though, there were people at my party that I did not invite because it wasn't my friend's house, right? And you want to respect people home. So I was very selective on who I invited, but apparently not selective enough. So I want to say to my friends, Catherine and Gil, I'm sorry. That's all I'm going to say. I'm sorry. It was just like people start showing up. So then, and mind you guys, and this is not me, supporting alcohol, but I was drunk, okay? And I told y'all when I drink, I love tequila. So I was out of it. But as soon as I got notified that people were in the house that wasn't supposed to, I just shut it down and said, everybody got to go. And I don't think Catherine was used to that either because I was like, everybody get the F out. It's time to go. You know, Catherine's just like, what the heck is this? So anyway, shout out to everybody that showed up. A time was had. I'll be dropping some photos on Facebook. I have not done that yet because my phone, I literally lost my phone. And the phone that I have now is my son's. And I can't actually access everything like I want on my current, borrowed phone. So you guys check me out on Facebook. Follow me. Hopefully I get it replaced by tomorrow. But let me tell you, I lost my phone. It was a time, y'all. Okay. 45 ain't never looked so fine. Y'all know Black don't crack unless you on crack. Okay. And my white people don't ever say that out loud. out. Just, again, you'll need a black translator for that. And it's okay if you, my friend, just call me. I'll translate what that means for you, okay? Amen. So I am so happy to be back on air. Again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. And the point of our show is really politics and tea. So it could go anywhere at any time. It could be inspiring. It could be transformative. It could be a little aggressive. And it could be like, this is some BS. And it could be anything. So today I want to start with acknowledging Black love and love and relationships and this dynamic that I'm often bringing up between feminism, masculinity, or whatever you want to call it, masculine energy, feminine energy. Again, it's not relative to your gender. It's just what it is. Some people are more masculine than others, and some people are more feminine. But I have this clip about relationships. It's like 3 minutes long, but it was so powerful and so like thought provoking that I want to play the whole clip. So let's get started on that, Luke. And it's about relationships and really like how, what women bring to the table and what that means when someone says women bring something to the table. Go ahead, Luke. Let's play it.
A man saying, yo, what do you bring to the table?
Let me have this. Men, y'all probably really just don't know exactly what a woman brings. Get your pens and paper. Let's talk about the purpose of a table. I'm talking to you, love, with all the beautiful hair.
You said you wouldn't need a table for
it? Right. You sit down and eat at it, right? You gather at this table. Let's say I'm your woman, hypothetically. Everyone sitting at this table, either one came in me or came out of me. We can agree on that?
Like, what?
I'm the purpose for even having the table. Everybody at this table is nurtured, cared for, looked after by me. If I deem you worthy enough to even extend your legacy, which means give you children, consider that an honor and a privilege, because parts of me have to die to give you life. There are things in my body that will never be the same after bearing children for you. And you're telling me the least, at the very least, you don't want to take care of me?
Nah, I can't.
All right, cool. Because
without me, you know what I mean, it could be no family. A family is a family. Like, yeah, so if you're renting, you need 3 times the rent. It's a teamwork thing. Because if I lack of, you're supposed to be able to, all right, well, here, this and that. If I'm struggling, all right, if I can't get it, all right, I'm going to need you to get that. It's nothing wrong with that. Like, so
it's something wrong with that, baby. It's something. In order for any family to sustain, there has to be balance. You're talking about this 50-50 stuff as if it really exists. If I have to get out of my bed to work 8 hours, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, which I do right now, and then I have to still come home and I still have to tend to the children. I have to take care of the home. I have to give you sex. I have to stroke your ego, and I have to restore you from all that you've been through throughout the day. What am I left with for myself? You would never be able to outwork a good woman. You should find a capable woman, but you do not want a working woman.
Like
when
that.
The chips are down, yes, baby, I am capable of rolling up my sleeves and doing what we got to do to get back on our feet, with the notion that once you are stable, you are going to relieve me of that duty, because it is not my job. But if I got to get out of my bed and go work for a man, guess what I'm doing? I'm excuse my language. I'm 2 men, because I have to get out of my bed and go appease one at work, do what he tells me to do, follow his orders, get whatever, and then you want me to come home and then appease you? Oh, and then take care of the kids? Oh, then cook and clean? Oh, then you want some sex?
Oh, my God.
You want all that on me for the sake of making it easier on you? If I'm willing to roll back my sleeves and work 2 jobs, which I'm doing right now, what you think I'm expect you to do? You better be willing to work 4. You better
Come
be
on.
Willing to take
That's
off
hard.
Your shirt.
That's hard.
If I roll up a sleeve, you better be willing to take off your shirt for me.
Yeah, that was everything to me, y'all. So again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So what you just heard was a clip of a conversation a woman was having on social media with two guys. And the question was that they proposed is, what do you bring to the table? What do women bring to the table? And she just schooled them, right? And part of what she was saying is folks need to understand that there needs to be a balance within the household. Again, this isn't gender specific, right? She's basically saying, If what do I bring to the table? Anybody that's sitting at that table is either, pardon my language, this is her words, came in me or came out of me. And then everyone that's at that table is being nurtured and taken care of by her. And again, this is really based on heteronormative standards, but this type of attributes and characteristics or relationship dynamic plays out in most relationships, regardless of how you define it or how you identify it. And then she says, at that table, everyone at that table is nurtured by her, the children, the man, whoever. And parts of when women give life, and I don't know if all men or all people understand, when we actually give life, we carry children in our womb, parts of us die. Like, and the older you get, the more parts die. So let's get clear on that. So my young women, have babies in your 20s. That's all I'm going to say. My youngest baby I had at the age of 36, y'all, and all parts of me died. Like, I got tendonitis, I got arthritis. My son literally sucked all the calcium out of my body. So I have I just have all kind of joint issues after him. So I had to be very intentional. I had to go to chiropractor. I had to do some physical therapy. My pregnancy was called, what do you call that when you are old and have a pregnancy?
I know the word.
Say it, Luke. You can do it. It's a safe space.
Is geriatric?
Yes, it's geriatric.
Okay. I was like, I don't know if this is the
So at the age of 36, they said this is a geriatric pregnancy, which means you're old, right? And you're having a baby. So you have to take all these additional tests. They do all these things before you're like 8 or 10 weeks pregnant. So that was my pregnancy. But he literally, and I breastfed him after he was born. I breastfed him for 2 years. And I recommend that for all children, if you're able to, simply because the antibiotics created by the mother's milk is more powerful than any vaccine, any medicine you can give your baby. That milk is everything. Literally, the power of breast milk. So as soon as the nipple goes in the baby's mouth, it has this exchange of chemicals. So your breast is notified through the mouth of the baby what's needed, whether it's vitamin A, D, B, if there's a virus or something or anything that is fighting off, your breast milk creates the antibodies and the antivirus. It's absolutely amazing. So when we return, I want to continue to talk about what women bring to the table. And then I want to have the conversation, as always, about the role of femininity and masculinity. Because for people known as Black, it's a really delicate conversation, because in the world where we are not allowed or have the resources or privileges, let's just talk about it a little more, because this was deep, okay? And remember, it is still my birthday. You're listening to Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. You want to stay tuned, because we're going to get deeper in this conversation. We're going to talk about DEI. We're going to talk about all the words that's now banned from the federal government. We're going to talk about the stock market crash. We're going to talk about how white people used to lynch Black people and eat them. So yeah, politics and tea. Stay tuned here on 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The soulful transition. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your hostess, with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. Yes, you are listening in Madison, Wisconsin, and maybe some Dane County areas. So thank you for being a listener of the show. And before we went on break, I was talking about, we had listened to this clip, and this young lady described what, as a woman, you bring to the table, which I often think gets lost in translation as we try to redefine roles, because in modern times, things have changed. And with women movements and feminism and all that stuff, things have changed. So let me give you a quick summary of some things that she said, if you missed it or you're just tuning in to the Black Conversion Show. She basically said parts of women have to die, that everyone at the table either came in her or came out of her. She nurtures everyone that's at the table. And she also says that balance is required within a relationship for a healthy family dynamic. And if she is working 8 to 10 hours a day like her husband, and she's still expected to come home, nurture the children, clean the house, do laundry, cook, and make sure everybody has their meals, make sure kids get to their appointments, make sure, you know, PTA meetings, sports, all that, make sure her husband ego is stroked, because anybody who date men or folks who identify as men, you know it's important to stroke your man's ego. A lot of us don't like doing it. We don't want to do it, but that's just the dynamic. And if I'm Luke, am I wrong? Do you need your ego stroked sometimes?
From time to time, yeah. But I'm not a huge, like, egotistical person. I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of fulfillment through I think other ways.
Yeah.
Like I don't need somebody to toot my horn.
Okay.
And what sometimes kind of, when ahead. That happens, I get really uncomfortable. So I don't know if that's just like a me thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could see that, because I get uncomfortable when people compliment me. It just feels really weird. Like whatever. And then I change the subject. So when you say you get fulfillment from other things, what are you referring to?
Like, I know that my worth doesn't, like, I don't need somebody telling me that I don't need somebody blowing smoke up my rear end or anything like that, or just praising me with compliments. I like to see, I think one of my love languages is like actions and deeds.
Like service, acts of service?
Yes. And so
that's my love language too.
So I don't need you to tell me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more of, I need you to show me.
Yeah, I'm a show me woman too. Don't tell me. Words are so like whatever. But one of the things she said as women, that we have to appease our men. We have to appease the people we work for. So if I'm in the world working, I have to navigate through that workspace, appease them, walk on eggshells, do whatever you do, because you know in the world you're wearing a veil. You can't even be who you are unapologetically most times in the world, especially the workspace, right? Then I got to come home, do all the work, and then appease you and sometimes stroke your ego and take care of the kids and then have sex with you whether I'm tired or not, because quote unquote, that's my responsibility as a woman. And then you still want me to pay 50-50 bills so that you can feel supported as a man and feel good. Like, who, basically what I translated what I heard from her is, who pours into me if that's the dynamic, right? And I think that's a dynamic of too many Black women, too many. And it's not actually the expectation of other women that's outside of the race of Black. And I know that's hard for people to digest and understand, but in the context of white supremacy, racism, women known as Black who identify as Black or self-identify, or other people identify them as Black, it doesn't matter your nationality or whatever, if you're identified as Black, it's all automatically seen as if you're undeserving. And today we're going to talk about why Black people are seen as undeserving and why we are always kind of just supposed to in politics. Why are we always brought up? Why are we always the measuring stick for whether something should happen or not? But we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later in our next, when we return from break. But right now, I want to continue the conversation about what women bring to the table. So part of it is that it's not in our culture, in the culture of white supremacy, Black women aren't seen as being soft or feminine enough or worth being taken care of. And the thing that I would love, and I've never experienced this in my life, so I'm kind of speaking from a utopia dream of mine, right? But the thing that I would have loved to experience as a mother is the ability to stay home with my kids and really give them what they needed and pour into them, because it takes so much to pour into your children. And our children actually require way more than our society is designed to actually give to them. And then we turn around and we say, what's wrong with those children? What's wrong with them? They needed more parental, and it's the parents' fault. But is it always the parents' fault if you don't have the resources or the opportunity to pour into your children? So for example, when my first child was born when I was 13, my second child was born when I was 19, and my third child was born when I was 36. So yes, I had some gaps in between my children. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest. And we're just talking about the roles of feminism and females and mothers. It is Woman History Month, okay? So why wouldn't we be talking about this? So just to remind you of where we're at. We're in March, my birthday, woman history. I'm Black. So we're talking about this today. So one of the things that I would have loved to experience is the ability to be home with my kids. When my son was born at 36 years old, I was forced to stay home with him because I couldn't find a job. Being the antagonizer, the activist in Madison and doing a lot of the grassroots organizing, once YWCA of Madison fired me for racism, they fired me for being racist, which is weird. Basically, they said that I was too Black. Like I was, we started doing more cultural specific activities. I started getting books for our clients that was specifically about being Black and navigating spaces, which I now do. I'm very unapologetically with Urban Triage without those restrictions, but they fired me for that. Either that's what, you know, what that was the excuse that they used, but either way, back to what I'm saying. So I got fired. I couldn't find a job. So I was forced to be at home with my son. I got fired when I was 7 months pregnant. And then I couldn't find a job. I was interviewing for jobs after I had Messiah. Folks wouldn't hire me because I was considered the angry Black woman, no matter what the job was, whether it was with Black people, they just didn't mess with me. So I was forced to be home, but it was the most, I don't know what to call it. It was the most satisfying experience of my life as a mother. It was the first time in my life that I got to sit down with my child. So every day he woke up with me. Every day I got to make him breakfast. Every day I got to make him lunch. Every day I got to read with him. We got to do his ABCs. We got to do sight words. We got to go play in the park. He got to go and do everything with me. There was no daycare. There was no childcare. I got to pour into my son. And my son right now is 8, and he is one of the most phenomenal children. He's so happy. He's so loving. He's so, I don't know. I don't even have the words to describe him. And he's so smart. He's 8 and he's in the 4th grade. He should be in the 2nd grade, but we bumped him because of his birthday. He reads at a 5th and 6th grade level. He does math at a 5th grade level. And that's all because I was able to sit home and nurture my child for the first most important times of his years. And then after that, I built my own organization. So my schedule was, you know, I could create my own schedule, and then I could hire a nanny and someone to take care of him and do the things that I was doing for him. So it was a wonderful experience. So when she talks about what women give and their nurturing and their ability and how we should want that for families, we should want mothers to stay home. We should want somebody to stay home. But I think the most important person to be at home with children is the mother because of the balance between feminism and masculinity. And again, I believe masculinity, the purpose and the objective of the energy itself is to provide the structure and the framework, and the feminine energy, the woman energy, is to provide the nurturing and the love that flows within that structure, providing a home. And if we have to work 12 to 15 hours, if we got to hustle and bustle just as hard as you, then who's pouring into the home? Who's nurturing it? Who's making it a home? And I think that's what she was saying. And the one dude, oh goodness, I'm going to have to tell you what the other dude said when we returned. Then I'm going to transition into the Trumpity Dumpity and the DEI and how people were lynching people known as Black after slavery and eating their bodies. So it's going to be a little creepy, but you want to stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the person you love to hate. Stay tuned. Kendrick Lamar, you know he's one of my favorite artists. It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. And guess who showed up late, as always?
Your favorite cousin, Clyde.
You're making a bad name for Black people, okay?
Listen, Black folks supposed to start at 10 o'clock. I am actually early.
No.
But they are pushing times back around here. Mm-mm. And my schedule's cut a month out.
This is crazy. This is a crazy. You know,
next week we're going to be on regular time, right?
It's always 9 o'clock. Oh, we said that last week. And he sent you.
We've been doing this for 6 months. We said it three weeks ago.
That at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yes.
No, to be fair, we started at 9, then we moved to 10, then we moved back to 9. Mm-hmm. So really,
then we started on Wednesdays. Now we're on Thursdays.
No.
It's Thursday. It's only Wednesdays when all of a sudden.
Just all excuses.
Child, listen, I'm grown. I got a lie.
You is grown, but let's just talk about the importance of integrity here. Okay.
Integrity is showing up. Integrity is showing up. It's better late than nothing.
Integrity is saying, hey, let me acknowledge
Where is our other co-host?
See, right. Let's change the subject.
This hey, is, y'all.
So I just want to demonstrate this is a perfect example why people don't like me and why people don't.
People love you.
Oh, the people who don't like me, it's okay. I'm fine okay. with not being liked, because if you're liked by everybody, you are not
but
authentic.
But you're loved by more than people that you're not like.
And
so.
Who cares anyway?
Right, okay.
I don't care. But my whole point was is that you see how I went back and forth with him around his integrity? I'm like that with my friends and my staff.
Same.
So folks who are interacting with me sometimes will call me toxic because I'm like, you need to be, you got to hold yourself.
Yeah.
Accountable. And one of the values of the work that we do is always integrity. You could fall out of integrity because we're human, but once you fall out, you have to be accountable for your fallout. You can't justify it with excuses. So I thought that was a good example because he did it really well. He's the king of excuses and BS. So anyway, you're tuned into the Black Convergence Show. And prior to our break, we were talking about relationships and the roles of women. This is Women History Month. Shout out to all my Black women, all my women working hard.
Big ups, big ups.
We love you. We appreciate you. We see you. And then we had listened to a clip, and this young lady was describing what women bring to the table. And one of the folks that she was engaging in the conversation with said, well, I need my woman to bring 50-50 to the table because the bills are high. And when you're paying rent, you need to have three times the amount of rent. I just want to point out that his mindset is in poverty anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So it also reminds me of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, people who grow up in poverty and poor are taught that you have to work hard to succeed. So you have to work three or four jobs to succeed, whereas rich folks don't teach their kids to work hard. They teach their kids how to navigate through the system, how to make money, how to run businesses, and how to delegate tasks. That's where your power is, being the boss and being able to delegate the work. So anyway, that reminded me of that a little bit, because if you're talking about rent and not mortgage, if you're talking about how to, you know, buy the meal and not how to buy a building, it's a different mindset. So I just want to acknowledge that. But what she said is all women, that your woman, your wife, should be capable of working if there's a hard time, if you hit a hard time. She should be able to get up and make things happen and hold her partner down. But it should not be a prerequisite, because if she's nurturing the children and taking care of home, and then you want her to have the energy to appease you, and then she has to appease the man in the street, Roger, we have a problem. What's your thoughts on that, Cousin Clyde?
I like the fact that, well, for me, if I'm in a relationship and if I'm playing like the feminine role, that's usually what I do. And I'm like an at-home person. I cook, I clean. And let's say times are getting hard and bills are going up. For me, it will be a requirement personally. Mm-hmm. Like, my own standard will be, okay, get out there, help.
Yeah.
You only probably got to really help for like 90 days until this inflation go down or until eggs go back to $5.
Okay.
But my man ain't going to never tell me that's like, I have to do
you
it.
Have
that's
to
just
do
a
it.
Natural thing I'm going to do.
I agree.
Right?
I mean, well, men, I've never experienced it. So I'm so I just want to be honest here. So all my life I had to work. All my life I had to fight. I've always been the breadwinner. I've always been the person that brought up the most money, except with my my daughter's father, Ciara's father, Latone, who's no longer with us, sending, you know, RFPs, love you for life. But when I was with him and I had Ciara, I didn't work. So I know prior to break, I said the first time I was able to sit down was with Messiah, but I didn't work, but I went to school and I was at UW-Madison studying psychology full time. And
which
that was
almost
a full time,
like,
right?
Yeah.
It was. And then I was like running, I was part of the ASM, student government, running Black Student Union. I was very involved and still doing community work. So it wasn't like I was sitting at home like I had the privilege to do when Messiah was born, but it was a privilege that was forced upon me. But we talked about that earlier, so we won't repeat that on the Black Convergence Show. So I do believe, like, if a woman is required to work because times are hard, her man should be working twice as hard, three times as hard. You can't ask me to work and you're not holding down another job. You need to go get Uber. So the thing that irritates me is when folks like, well, I need you to help me. You're a man. I need you to be the doer, which is part of my love language. Like, affirmations are nice. You hugging me, touching me is cool. But I need you to show me. Show me the money. Show me the work ethic. Show me your integrity. And if you don't, then trust is lost. And sometimes love is lost.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, what I've realized is, like, as I travel and as I get older, demographics play a big part in this, right? Because this is a Midwest thing. You go down south, Black women actually don't work as hard as Black women in the Midwest do. And so I think it's our system, right? Systematically, Black men here do work, and they can't afford it. Like, yeah. we're the second highest inflation when it comes down to rent and yeah. mortgage in the country. So I do think that, you know, we got to go back to our roots. We got to go back down south, baby, because I'm telling you, them women down south, they so beautiful. They don't work. They take care of 5, 10 kids sometimes. And it's like, the man up here, they got high rent. They got gas. They got high eggs.
Yeah, but you can't be working at the gas station and not holding down a second job or trying to get yourself in a better position and then complaining about your woman not contributing. Right. So, like, as people known as Black, we have to understand our own competence, our own munificence, and our own ability.
Yeah.
As you think it is. Like, as a man think it is.
But who is that working for? How many, do you know, 10 Black women in Madison that don't work and their boyfriends take care of them or their husbands take care of them?
I do know a couple. I wouldn't say 10. But do you know 10? I wouldn't say 10.
Thousands of Black women.
I wouldn't say 10, but I would say there's women who don't work because their men work, or women who choose to work because they want to work. So right. I think that's a conversation too. And yeah, so I just want to transition because you're late and I've been on this topic for a minute. Yeah, you're late.
Apologies.
You know, on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Look at him.
And
he forgot. He
didn't
forgot what to say or do, Luke. You see what happens when you come in late and you don't show up for 5 weeks?
Yeah,
but she's gonna say yes. I do forgive
my
the
apologies.
Structure. So I want to move on to the conversation and connect it to our next topic. So as you guys know, the federal government has decided that DEI is no longer a thing that they want to do, and they are using people known as Black and all these other reasons to remove DEI language in contracts, do all kind of things, stop funding for things like Head Start from farmers. Yeah. They're firing veterans. They fired USDA folks and then asked them to come back to work. They fired HUD folks. It's just been a mess. So I want to talk about why, in the context of America, do we always go back to pointing to Black people in order for white people to define their humanity and to define where they're headed, right? So America could redefine themselves without even talking about Black people. We could say, hey, yeah. we want to do better at economic empowerment. We want to bring jobs home. But it always has to relate to Black people. And I'm going to help you understand why. Go ahead, Luke. Go ahead and play this quick clip from Dr. Joy DeGroy.
And our children, they don't want any American children to know these stories, to know these truths. They don't want them to know. Tuskegee syphilis, that's as far as we go.
Yeah.
And that was child's play compared to what was done. J. Marion Sims, the same man who experimented on all of these women, also accused enslaved Africans, accused them for the fact that the children have what we now know as neonatal tetanus. He called it trimus nascentium. Just made up something, but it's neonatal tetanus. Tetanus derives from manure. The likely cause of it, because of the proximity enslaved Africans were to animal stables, but people like him caused because of where they had to sleep. But he said it was because of their indecency of their parents. So he decided he was going to try to correct it with a shoemaker's awl, and it is a pointed object that they poke holes in leather with. Every child that was born tempted to reshape their heads and had a 100% fatality rate, killed every single child. Imagine what it must have been like. And they had a statue of him until 2018 when Harriet Washington, myself, and others said, you're gonna move that from Central Park.
Central Park.
Had J. Marion Sims. It's now at his grave. But it stood there until 2018. He was a monster. They don't want to...
So the story, Dr. Joy DeGroy, for folks who don't know her, you need to look her up. She is the author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. She is a psychiatrist. She has plenty of the credentials that you guys require people to have. So look her up. And listening to her, my heart started racing and I felt really sad. The grief was real for me because think about it. Just think about it. So during slavery and after slavery, people known as Black was forced to sleep with animals. And because you were forced to sleep in the same shed or the same ground as animals, you got diseases and bacteria from said animals. So babies were being born with this bacteria. And this white dude came around and said, you know what? It's because they're Black and something's wrong with their brain and their function. So in order to change them and to fix these animals, these things, which they were referring to Black people, they took the babies. So I just want to be clear what she says. They took the babies and took this sharp object that they use to push holes in belts, like thick leather belts, and put it in the back of their skulls and then cracked it and hit the back of the baby's head. And there's 100% fatality rate. And his thing was like, oh, we're going to fix these black people. And then they made a statue of him. And then they honored him. And then they wrote books about all his amazing work in medicine. So first of all, when he wrote, just like our President Jefferson, is that his name? President Jefferson, right?
That's Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, that was his name. Just like him, he wrote about this, and then he put in writing that black people's brains were different. Our skulls were shaped differently. We wasn't human, is basically what they said. And then they basically used that, and I said President Thomas Jefferson because he did the same thing in his memoirs. He talked about, basically, he wasn't accountable for raping women or sleeping with black women who he enslaved. Mm-hmm. He had lots of babies by them.
Yeah.
But he wrote in his memoirs, basically, hey, you know, even though, you know, they, you know, experienced injury, they didn't feel pain. Because black people don't feel pain. They don't feel grief. They don't have emotions. And even though these folks were hurt, these women were hurt, but they were not hurt. They didn't feel anything. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about what I did, because they're not actual humans. They're not human. So, and I produced these kids with this one, these women, but they're not humans. We're just going to use them for labor. So that was your president, Thomas Jefferson. So the point that I'm making here on the Black Conversion Show is, in order for white people to define themselves as the prototype for humanity, they had to compare themselves to someone else. They had to point their finger and have an example of, this is what we're not and this is what we are. But just what's like happening right now in the Trumpity Dumpity era, you have to be able to point to something and say, though, something's wrong with those people, and we're right. So they, right now, under Trumpity Dumpity, people are really holding on to this kind of national Christian movement, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did back then. We're Christian, we're good people, and you know, they're the bad people, they're the animals, and it's okay that we crack their skulls open. It's okay that we lynch them. And not only, and you'll hear a clip when we get back, but not only were people known as black lynched at ridiculous rates after slavery, their bodies was burnt, babies were cut from the stomach, pieces of their body parts, the ears, the nose, the lips,
into clothing,
were made into leather, and they cut them off and put them in their windowsills, put them on their, kind of like a deer head. Like,
and
look,
those
what
body
I did.
Parts still roam around America to this day in white families.
Yes, and they did like lynching parties where their kids would dress up in suits and their babies would come and watch these bodies burn as they celebrated, clapped, and all of these things. And I want to tell you the importance of that as it relates to what's happening today. And I'm going to connect the dots for you when we get back, because it's important for us to understand why our federal government and Trumpity Dumpities and folks who believe in Confederism, or back to the, you know, because Trump says we're not going to be woke anymore. And I wore my woke earrings today just so y'all know that we are still awoke and we're not falling asleep, right? So I want y'all to understand, in order for everything to continue to be what it is, we have to connect to something inferior. And in the context of America, black people are defined as inferior, and it started in writing in medical history. We're going to return. I'm going to tell you more about it here on the Black Conversion Show. Don't call Civic Media. They know me. They know what I'm on. Okay. Here on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson
and your favorite cousin Clyde.
He finally remembered what to do. So hopefully he shows up on time next week and he'll get it right. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, 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 oh. I wish I could see. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM. WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin Clyde.
So prior to break, we were talking about why or how or why every time we want to change America or go to a different direction, we use Black people as the excuse, or at least we refer to us somehow, some way, because that's what DEI is. It's attack on Black people. So prior to the break, I was just saying, hey, this is why, because we define, people known as white have defined themselves, whether you're conscious of it or not, by defining who Black people are and making them into animals or less than human, so you can just suppose to yourself to it. Because just for clarity, we live in the dimension of relativity. And the dimension of relativity means that in order for one thing to be defined, it has to be defined by something else. So for you to be known as great, you literally have to point to someone else and say, they're not great. I'm great. And this is why. So that's why white people were able to become the prototype of humanity across the globe. This isn't just a United States thing. That's why your boy Trump is doing these AI videos of him and his golden statue in Gaza, which is crazy when you think about it. So anyway, getting back to it. After slavery, there was lynching. White people were eating Black people, literally making us into animals, right? And then saying out loud, we're Christians, we love God, we love Jesus. Yeah. And the reason they were able to do that, why do you think they were able to do that? Still be like the Christian model while they're killing, beating, eating people, and bussing babies' skulls wide open. Power. But where did that come from, though?
They stole it.
They stole it. And they suffer from what we call cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Luke, are you familiar with cognitive dissonance?
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you?
For me, it's when you say that you support one thing, mm-hmm. like Christian values mm-hmm. of feeding the poor,
yes.
or helping the needy, mm-hmm. and then you elect politicians that don't do those things.
Right.
When your actions are tangibly different mm-hmm. than what you're saying your beliefs are.
Yeah, you're out of integrity, right?
Yeah.
And most people justify themselves being out of integrity by like saying, oh, I smoke cigarettes, but I'm healthy. But because I'm stressed, I'm justified because I'm stressed. That's like cognitive dissonance. And white people get to say, I'm still a Christian, even though we kill and we enslave and we oppress people, because they're less than. And if they don't get what we have, democracy and our white Jesus, they won't never be human. So we need to humanize them. So that justifies us doing what we're doing. So that's what cognitive dissonance is. And that's what's happening right now in our world. And what they're trying to do is get back to that place where they're like, mega, we're the white people. You need to save our race. And Elon Musk, J.D. Vance, and Trump has been saying it very clear on most of their interviews that we need to maintain our culture. What they're basically saying is that white people need to maintain their
whiteness.
Bloodline yeah. of whiteness. And just for you know, like whiteness is a recessive gene. So when you mix it with blackness or anything darker, you can get wiped out. But it also happened in indigenous lands. When white folks came, they colonized. When you see indigenous people today, they look white. They're like, I'm indigenous. Yeah. I'm a Cherokee. I'd be thinking like, no, you're not. Maybe your great-great-great-grandma was, but that Cherokee is about 0.2%. And
yeah.
it's hard to identify them because they used to be as dark as me. But right now when I show up and they be like, well, I know what oppression is. I'm like, everywhere you go, girl, you get identified as white. You get proximity to whiteness. You get treated with whiteness. You got privilege. We're not going to get into that conversation right now about color. Because y'all gonna be really cussing me out. But I wanted you to know that the reason that the world is able to, and the United States is able to function the way it's functioning, is because it was written down in the books that Black people are animals, and y'all
yeah,
still believe it.
It's still in the Constitution.
You believe it. So I just want you to be aware of a couple things here as it relates to DEI and the federal, what's happening in our federal government. There are some words that the federal government has now banned. So you cannot use it in any contracts, on any website, on any application. So the student loans, anything. You cannot use these words. Activism, at risk, anti-racism, BIPOC, biological male, Black, Latinx, DEI, climate crisis, diversity, disability. You can't use the word hate, speech, feminism, cultural heritage, LGBTQ. You can't say it. Intersectionality, multicultural prejudice. You can't even say pronouns. So weird, but you can't say the word pronouns. Racial inequality, social justice, social economics, they or them. You can no longer use that. And you can't use the word transgender or systemic. All banned by our federal government. So in order for them to put everybody back to sleep, because that's what
yeah.
Trump says, you guys are woke, and he said, no woke, no more, right? He wants to erase words from the English language. He really thinks he's Putin.
Yeah. Crazy.
Putin.
Insane.
Putin.
It's insane.
Putin.
And it's crazy because we, like you said, we as the people can stand up against this and get rid of this, right? But it's like we're so powerless.
We act don't powerless.
Even know, yeah, we don't know how to.
Luke, go ahead and play that last clip for me. It's like less than a minute. Because it's an illusion of white people because y'all think you're in danger, but you're not in danger. It's just an illusion. So then you get on the board of this BS. Vote for Trump. He's trying to bring our jobs back while we over the stock market is crashing and HELL is literally breaking out. Here's the statistics that I need white people to know. Go ahead, Luke.
Let me show you some basic statistics from 2019. So the presidency and vice presidency, 100% white. The U.S. Senate, 91% white. I just have to point out again, the most diverse Congress we've ever had. The House of Representatives, 73% white. The current cabinet, 89% white. The governors, 98% white. Mayors, 88% white. Military advisors, just think about who we go to war with. 100% white. Federal judges, 88% white. Police officers, 80% white. The people who decide which TV shows we see, 90-something percent white.
You can turn people it off, Luke. So my point of letting you hear Dr. Robin, what's her name? Dr. Robin DeAnthony?
D'Angelo.
I'm always making up names, D'Angelo. She wrote the book White Fragility. And she's basically saying, like, white people are afraid that they're losing ground and losing power, but you still control everything. So the illusion of nationalism, the illusion that white people need to grasp on to their race and their power is straight BS, but they can use it. Trump can use it and take you for every dollar that you have and then put you in the poorhouse and then put you against those who are most vulnerable and say, we did this for patriotism or something, or, you know, for nationality. We needed to subjugate you, white woman, because we needed to protect the white blood. We needed to subjugate you, white farmer in rural areas, because we need to subjugate you, veterans, because we needed to protect ourselves from these Negroes, from the Latinx. Like, come on, y'all, wake up.
But just imagine if not. White people did that. Like, we actually need to do that, right? Like,
with what power?
We need to, right. But I think the attitude to save ourselves and the attitude to put ourselves first, we need to start doing that.
I agree. Like, I agree. Black people, do not come running. This is your time to rest. This is not your fight. What's happening in our country right now is a white man's fight.
We need to gather in our own private spaces.
It's time for y'all to rest. It's time for us to strategize. It's time for us to start growing our food. It's not time for you to be showing up for the brown people who showed up against you on election day.
Yeah.
It's not time for you to be out here protesting. When you know it's time, you will know. Don't worry about them freeing the dude who killed Floyd. It's not gonna happen. So anyway, this is the Black Conversion Show. Very controversial, very uncomfortable show, but I appreciate you listening and just, you know, continue to listen, because next week is going to be off the chain. And remember, it is my birthday month. Brandi,
happy
Gracie
birthday
on 92.7 FM. See you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.